My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Good. I think it's really good. That is, you know, some of the early signs we've seen this season is the unit I thought that was going to be good is really good. And if they can get pressure on quarterbacks, that's going to help out the back end of that defense so much, and sort of kind of patch up, you know, really the only vulnerability on this team, which I think continues to be secondary. But if you get that defensive front causing havoc, you know, I think that can carry a long way, especially when your offense is probably going to be dropping 40 plus points a game, which I think they're going to do to most opponents. I mean, you look at the schedule, you know, who are they not going to run up 40 plus on? You know, really those three key swing games, I think, are the only opponents that are probably going to have much hope of holding Tennessee below 40-plus. And if they score 40-plus, I think they're winning those games. So I still think the Tennessee season, in a lot of ways, comes down to that Week 4 game at Oklahoma. Oklahoma didn't look great last week, looked good in Week 1. Not sure I got a great read on them yet. I think they're good defensively. Not sure about the offense. But, you know, I guess Tennessee's climbing in the stock report, but I think the overall narrative of their season hasn't changed. It's Week 4 at Norman.
Blake, have a great weekend, my man.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
That is Blake Topmeyer, SEC columnist for the USA Today Sports Network. When we come back, let's get into that Florida State-Memphis game. It's a big one. We'll do all that, talk some more, also get into our games of the weekend, but we'll also come back with the list, get into everything happening in sports. Stick around. You're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Florida State, Memphis.
You just made the list.
All right, Tim, I've actually done a pretty good job driving here of staying off of my cell phone. Are we still at 6.5? What are we showing line-wise?
Yeah, we're sitting pretty much 6.5. There was a couple sevens earlier today, but those were scooped up. So it feels like, barring some Saturday movement, this might be where we ultimately go off 6.5 in favor of the Noles here.
Have we had limits opened up yet?
Yeah, they're starting to. Tomorrow morning you'll get more, but yeah, you'll see for those kind of want to know the ins and outs of line movement. Normally you see a big rush of it on Sunday and Monday when those numbers come out, and then you'll see a bit of a quietness, so to speak, middle of the week, and then today and tomorrow morning especially, once we find out who's in, who's out, limits get larger, you'll start to see more money come in, and that's where you might see some game day steam in on some of these games.
Have we seen sharp movement one way or the other on either side?
I do know when FanDuel opened up, I think, 1.5 last week on the look ahead. I know that was banged very quickly out to, I think, like 5.5 or something like that. I have not been told that there was sharp action on the Florida State side, but certainly Yeah, I think there is movement that way.
I mean, to me, I don't know how you handicap the game, but the way that I kind of look at it, preseason, what? This would have been Florida State at least 17, probably, right?
Yeah, I think that is probably fair where this was. Yeah, I think most people have kind of downgraded this Florida State team upwards of like two touchdowns.
And so to me, I feel like, and this isn't being a homer, because, hey, man, bets are bets. Like, I don't care if it gets going the home team. You know, it's business. But this doesn't scream to me as a game that I really want to bet early unless I feel a certain way. Maybe you're out there and you've got a strong opinion. But to me, it's almost like I want to see what Florida State looks like early. Are they going to be game or are they going to look the same way? It's kind of a game that I think I'd rather live bet than take early.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point, right, we're at 6.5. I think, you know, I understand why Memphis fans would be looking to jump in on that side. You know, we haven't seen anything from a Florida State standpoint that would say that this team is worthy of beating anyone, albeit, you know, let alone a quality G5 program that very well could be the representative of the G5 in the college football playoff. But I think at this price, I normally would lean a little Florida State here just because of the massive shift from what we were expecting the offseason. But I don't know how right now, Jeffrey, I can look at myself and back this Florida State team, which was supposed to have this vaunted defensive line, and they've been run on with ease the first 2 weeks of the season by Georgia Tech over in Ireland and then Boston College again. Now, the fact that they have a bye week is certainly beneficial to Florida State, but at the end of the day, DJ Uiagalelei still remains their starting quarterback.
Yeah, to me, like, in terms of football, there are two key questions. Number one, is Florida State getting run on because of their defensive front, or are they getting run on because they're linebackers? I lean towards, I think their linebackers really suck. I think they get blocked really easily. I think they're out of position. And really the key question is, can Memphis take advantage of that in the same way that Georgia Tech and Boston College did? I really don't know. Like, that's a key question to me. And then I think on the other side of the ball, the real question is, we saw basically Georgia Tech and Boston College roughly use the same game plan defensively, which was, we're loading the box, we're going to dare DJ to beat us, and we're going to turn well enough. You know, maybe we're going to leave guys one-on-one, but can he make those throws? The question to me is, can Memphis also do that defensively? Because that's kind of, to me, like, that seems to be the formula of how you beat them.
Yeah, and I mean, you want DJ to make mistakes, and you know, I'm you know, when you get a G5 team going on the road to take on a Power 4 team, you know, how do those trench battles show up? You know, I hate keep going back to it, but you know, Northern Illinois proved that they belonged, right? They showed that in the trenches they were strong enough. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out here.
I think the other question I have is, is Seth Hennigan the best quarterback that they've seen?
This year?
Yeah.
From a passing standpoint, sure.
To me, like, Castellanos is so difficult to categorize, because if you're just talking pure passer, well, no, he's not up there, but he is a dynamic runner and a dynamic playmaker. And I think I would argue the way that Haynes King played on week zero, I think that was pretty solid quarterback play. But, like, in terms of the guy that would scare me the most in the pocket, I still think it's probably Seth.
Yeah, I think from a pure passing standpoint, absolutely. That he's definitely the quarterback of the three so far that, you know, is the most talented passer that they've seen, you know. Thomas Castellanos of Boston College is a very good runner, not there from a passing standpoint. So, yeah, I think Seth Hennigan, no doubt, is the best passer that they've seen this year.
All right, then the other kind of question all week that's been coming up, and I'm curious to know how you feel about it. There's this idea that with Florida State being down, it's kind of must-win for Memphis if they're going to be a playoff team. I'm a little hesitant to say that, but what I do think is fair to say is if they don't win Saturday, I do think they would have to run the table. And because I just, when I look at UTSA, I don't think they're that good. I think Tulane, who I was kind of quietly high on all summer, they've kind of looked the part. But, you know, South Florida played Bama well last year, you know, last week, but they did the same last year. I'm just not sure the league's going to provide enough other opportunities to slip up. It seems to me, you know, if they don't win, I think they have to win out. But how do you kind of categorize this game as we look at the G5 playoff hopes?
Personally, I don't think it's a must win because I think the AAC is looked at in the eyes of most as the best G5 conference out there. So if they were to go 12-1 with a loss to Florida State, I think they have a really good shot. Boise State going to Oregon and performing the way that they did is not ideal, but they didn't win the game, so that is better than them winning it outright. But you know, I'll say this: the result last night in San Marcos was very good for Memphis. Texas State, if they had won that game against Arizona State, was going to be a betting favorite in every game moving forward. So as we look ahead, and that's why I think this is so fascinating, this whole entire year, where it's not just a New Year's Six bowl bid where, let's be honest, last year the committee doesn't care. This year they're going to have to care, and they're going to have to put in the right team. And, you know, it would have been better for Memphis if Liberty lost to New Mexico State last weekend, and they probably should have. But the result last night, I think, was very advantageous for the Tigers with Texas State losing. So to answer your question, if they don't win, I do not think it's a devastating loss. I'd say you don't want to get blown out by Florida State. I think Florida State still might figure out a way to get to a bowl game. You're going on the road, Doak Campbell, that's a challenge. Yeah, I mean, preseason, we thought this was going to be a game against maybe a top 10 team, and ultimately it's an unranked team off to the most disappointing start in the country, but they don't have to win this game. If they win the game, it's a very nice piece to have and a feather in your cap, especially if you're able to run the table. Maybe it gives you a little bit of flexibility to drop a conference game at some point along the way, but they don't have to win this game. I agree with you. They could lose this game and still make it to the college football playoff because Boise State already has a loss and Texas State just lost last night. Appalachian State got absolutely obliterated by Clemson. The only team out there, really, Liberty still undefeated. Obviously, Northern Illinois, if they were to run the table now, you have to have, you know, serious discussion about that, but we'll see how they look, you know, in a couple weeks when they go down to NC State. No, I don't think this is a must-win type of game for the Tigers.
Has you and I moved to betting favorite for the MAC?
They have not.
So is it still Toledo?
If it is, it shouldn't be. Toledo, I think, is a bit overrated. They're living off of previous years. I believe the last time I checked, it was Miami of Ohio.
Conference you're right.
A year ago. But looking at it right now, Northern Illinois plus 450, Bowling Green plus 350, and then Miami and Toledo are co-favorites. By the way, I was told today that one sportsbook in town did see Toledo sharp action today on the Rockets, who are at Mississippi State. So worth noting that today, that we saw a little bit of Rocket sharp money at the Westgate Superbook here in Las Vegas.
Do you know that line was dancing? So I do a picks column for my old boss, and like that line opened at like, I don't know, like 7 or 8. I feel like, and it jumped up to like, I saw it as high as 12. What do you have any idea why that thing was dancing? Because the only thing I could think of was Toledo had injury concerns.
I think there's a belief that Toledo's overrated. Toledo so far has not been, you know, that impressive. And, you know, they beat Duquesne to start the year, but, you know, Duquesne went out and got hammered by Boston College last week, and then they, you know, didn't cover against UMass. So I think Toledo's a team that The betting market is fading a little bit. But as mentioned, you know, there was a shop that we did see a little bit of buyback here. So, and that's one of the things too that, you know, if you follow the betting markets and you see movement, it kind of ebbs and flows. Like you'll see lines kind of crash down and then get bet back up. So, you know, Oregon State, for example, on Sunday when that line came out, it went as low as like 13.5, 14. And then we've just seen steady Oregon State money come in. So it's kind of funny to keep an eye on it. I just always have the market up for me. And, you know, today we're seeing a lot of Boston College money hit the market. That game down to 14 in a couple spots. But to your point about Toledo right now, looks at 10 pretty much across the board in favor of Mississippi State. But looking at where it opened 8. Got bet up to 13, and now you've seen that movement come back down towards Toledo here. So almost back to where it originally started.
How did Texas, like, I watched that whole game, and, like, yes, I understand, like, what Texas State did to UTSA last week, like, was eye-opening. But at the same time, it's like, I've had the opinion, I've now watched UTSA, I watched them play Kennesaw State, and I watched them last week. Other than their first quarter script against Kennesaw State, they do not appear to me to be a good football team. But, like, I just could not figure out how I waited until game time, and I got plus 125 with Arizona State. And, yeah, Texas State looked better in the first half. But once we got to the second half, like, the whole time I was like, I just felt like that was a winner. Like, I was surprised that Texas State went off as a three-point favorite.
I mean, that was a massive line move. You looked at Arizona State early on in the week was as high as a 3.5-point favorite, and then you saw a movement of 6 points all the way to another key number of 3. Before kickoff, you saw it come down a little bit to 2.5, but look, I grabbed Arizona State at 3. I've been dead wrong on Arizona State this year. I bet against them week 1. Market moved that direction. They got they hammered Wyoming. I bet against them week 2, and then Cam Scatabo ran for, you know, 250-plus against Mississippi State, and they got that cover as well. So my read of Arizona State has been off. And then, you know, when I saw just the market kind of going bonkers on Texas State, I ultimately had to say to myself, hey, man, I got to come in here on Arizona State. And, you know, Arizona State, I give them a lot of credit. They went down 21-7 last night, and they were able to tie that game up going into the half. I thought Jordan McLeod, the James Madison transfer who's now at Texas State, you know, he's a talented quarterback, but he made some mistakes last night. He threw a big pick late in that game as well. But, yeah, Texas State, it was funny. Every Thursday on VSiN Primetime, we have Derek Stevens, who's the owner of Circa, on, and he goes, I don't know what's going on, but we need Arizona State desperately in this spot. Everybody was coming in on Texas State last night, and ultimately the books prevailed because Arizona State got a 3-point win over them.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, Kenny Dillingham was on the Memphis staff. Like, it's, you know, kind of the Tigers are at least helping out the G5, but it's also, you know, Norvell obviously at Florida State this weekend, and then Ryan was on Mike's staff here, and there's a lot of guys on that staff. Dan Lanning, now the head coach at Oregon. My old co-host, Mark Giannato, kind of tweeted, I don't know if he has written about it yet or maybe it's coming out tomorrow, but he's written about that whole staff and kind of how they're littered in college football. Because I don't know, man. Like, I've now, because I'm like, I ended up not being, I didn't take a side last week on Arizona State, Mississippi State. I do weirdly think had State gotten that stop, I was convinced State was going down. I think because Dillingham at half was kind of like, we're going to have to hold on for dear life. And, like, he kind of called the game script. But, man, I just find myself being impressed at what they do, because maybe they got some skill guys, I guess, that are pretty good. But, like, I don't love Leavitt at quarterback, but I think they've done a pretty good coaching job.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a year zero type of deal with them. And, you know, I think Leavitt has been, you know, better than I ever anticipated there at the quarterback position. So, yeah, I got to give him credit, man. You know, this team being 3-0, I thought they were going to be, you know, an upset alert week one against Wyoming, and now they're 3-0 with a game against Texas Tech next week. And, you know, Texas Tech just went up to Washington State last weekend and got their doors blown off by Washington State. So there's a chance that Arizona State is 4-0 hosting Kansas in early October. So, look, them being decent or competent makes the Big 12 even that much more interesting, because that conference, I continue to say it, is the most fascinating conference in the Power Four this year, because I think there are so many teams that could ultimately emerge as the champion. And look, guess what? Cam Rising's hurt again. You know, he's not going to play this weekend against Utah State. Missed all of last year. You know, when you're 100 years old, I guess, you know, your bones start to hurt a little bit more. So I still think the Big 12 is going to be incredibly intriguing as the year goes on.
All right, Dennis, let's put the Pac-12 on the list.
You just made the list!
All right, we've, of course, been talking about it a little bit, but you're out there. What's your perspective? I mean, to me, you know, the dead giveaway was earlier in the week when the Pac-12 announced they couldn't come to the scheduling agreement with the Mountain West. My sit immediately went up. All right, they're about to make a move. They don't basically invite everyone from the Mountain West. They take the four that they want, and they're still looking to add. Would you kind of look at the chessboard? What do you see?
Yeah, I was surprised that UNLV wasn't on the list, and that's not because I live in Vegas, because Vegas is a very nice hub. UNLV has great facilities. They've got a NFL stadium that they call home. They've got the arena that the Mountain West continues to use as their conference championship site. So I think it was more, from my understanding, more a legal thing. I think the state officials didn't want Nevada and UNLV to be separated, a la Washington, Washington State, Oregon, Oregon State initially, before they ultimately did get to leave. So I think UNLV inevitably will be part of the new whatever we're calling it, the Pac-12. And then I think it's really creative. Like, what do we do? Do they talk to Memphis? You know, I'm sure you guys have talked about it. Like, to me, Memphis would make sense, but I was talking to someone that believes that the Pac-12, he's not sourced, but this was his kind of educated guess, which was he believed that the Pac-12 really wants to have that true West Coast footprint. They don't necessarily want to go, you know, across the Mississippi and grab other schools like that from the AAC. But, I mean, I think to me, ultimately, I would guess that the Pac-12 is going to try to figure out, and probably unsuccessfully, but can they convince a Cal and a Stanford to come back? I don't think they'll convince any Big Ten teams to come back, especially like UCLA. I don't think they'll be successful in the Big Ten, but they got the full share. Them and USC are getting full money. Oregon and Washington are the two teams that are not. And it seems like, I would think those two teams are going to be, schools, I should say, are going to be happy in that conference, even though it would be great to get those rivalries back together. I thought it was really intriguing that they only went four initially, right? What they went just, you know, Boise State, Fresno State, San Diego State, and Colorado State. You know, San Jose State, you know, from a geographical footprint would make sense, but that's not really a fan base that brings much to the table whatsoever. It's more of a commuter school, so I would assume they're going to be left out. You've got Wyoming, you've got New Mexico. What do they actually bring to the table? The thing for me that I really want to happen is for them to somehow, and I know conferences have tried to convince Gonzaga to leave the West Coast Conference for years, and they've never done it, because, look, you know better than anybody, Gonzaga runs the show in the WCC. Hey, we don't want this many conference games. Okie dokie, you guys get that. So the WCC bends over backwards for the Zags, but can the Pac-12 figure out a way to convince them to come to the new conference for basketball and every other sport as well? So that's one thing that I'm keeping an eye on there. But, yeah, I don't know who they ultimately go for as the other handful of spots. Do they, you know, I think UNLV makes sense. I think Memphis would make sense if they're willing to go a little bit further. But, Jeffrey, I don't know if that's what the Pac-12 has in mind.
Yeah, to me, it's fascinating because you're also trying to recruit people without a TV deal.
Right.
And, like, to me, the only way Memphis, Tulane, those schools make sense is if, you know, they eventually do what, you know, has been hypothesized someone would do at some point for a couple of years now, which is like a West division, an East division, and then you have, you know, you meet up, you have some crossover, I guess, in football, but for the travel and the other sports. But it's, I don't know how you're going to be able to recruit schools without a TV deal. And then the other complicating factor is, I saw McMurphy write it, and I'm sure he's sourced. Like, they're not going to have power status. So why, despite Stanford and Cal already acknowledging the travel's a mess in the ACC, well, we also know Cal is broke. I don't know how, like, to me that just seems like a fairy tale.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the big thing, and I hadn't seen that Brett McMurphy article, so that makes sense, right? What's the appeal for Memphis or whoever to go to the new Pac-12 if it's just going to be a Group of Five conference? Like, if you're just going to have an old name and there's, I guess, history behind the Pac-12, but you're not going to get an auto bid to the college football playoff as a conference champ, why would Memphis want to leave there to make travel more challenging for every other sport? You know, does it upgrade a little bit? Maybe, but, you know, I still think, you know, right now from a football standpoint, the fact that, you know, UTSA seems a little bit down, but, you know, you've got some decent football programs in this conference. I just, you know, Boise State is, you know, a team that has a massive fan base, has NIL money. Like, they're a program that, you know, you're going to want to be continuously good, but I don't know where they go. I mean, is it ultimately at the end of the day, is it just going to be, you know, the Mountain West light, or so to speak, or like the best of the Mountain West? You know, look, the Mountain West is probably going to have to go into the FCS ranks now. Do they get a Sacramento State? Do they get UC Davis? Do they get these types of schools that jump up from the FCS to the FBS? And then the Mountain West essentially just becomes the, you know, the watered down CUSA. I don't know. I mean, this is a lot of moving parts here. I think at the end of the day, maybe the state of Nevada gets their wish and Nevada and UNLV go into the new Pac-12, and then you're at 8. Maybe you get Gonzaga and St. Mary's. Maybe you poach off someone else, but it seems like maybe 8 is a likely spot, and then the pipe dream being bringing back Cal and Stanford to make it, you know, the original Pac-10.
I mean, the only thing that I could think of is I'm someone that believes the ACC is breaking up at some point. Like, I don't know if it's next summer, the next summer, but, like, I just don't think they're along, you know, long for this world. But the key question is, do they go the way of the Southwest Conference, the way of the Big East, the way of, let's be real, the Pac-12, and they're just not, they're not a conference anymore? Because typically what we see every round of realignment, every major round of realignment, is we end up losing one league. Are they sitting there and waiting for that? It's chaos, but it's almost like, I still think, though, if that league breaks up, you're still running into the same problem.
Ooh.
Well, division schools. Ooh. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm probably breaking up.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, where in Tennessee is Jeffrey driving right now? Is he is breaking up a little bit? You're good now.
Okay, sorry. But to me, it's like, I think the ACC, but like, why if you're someone that gets left out of realignment, you're one of those ACC schools, you're the Pitt, Syracuse, BC, NC State, Wake, those schools, why would you do the Pac-12 thing? Like, to me, it's like, the only reason why you do that is if they had their own TV deal and whatnot, and that just seems unlikely.
Yeah, I mean, look, will they get some sort of TV deal? Sure. I do know the Pac-12 is their, you know, their studio in San Francisco, I think, is the set for a bunch of, you know, the CW stuff that is going on. So I'm sure they'll get some sort of deal. It's not going to be what the Big 12 got. right? I mean, Boise State's a bit of a draw, but outside of that, who else is really, you know, bringing in the eyeballs from a football standpoint? Look, live football is king right now, so they'll get some money, but it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be what they were hoping for when the Pac-12 ultimately fell apart.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into our betting cards, games of the week. We'll do all that next on Football Friday right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, Tim, I told you last week on my card I was either going 0-10 or 10-0. I was close. I went 2-8, but I still contend the whole thing fell apart when Arkansas didn't cover. Every gambler out there knows if you take a loss like that with Arkansas, your whole day's over. You might as well just pack it up and just say, we'll see you next week.
Yeah, I mean, similar situation happened to me. I knew my Texas-Michigan bet was dead pretty much from the jump, but when my first half under happened, fell apart when Colston Loveland just dropped the ball at midfield with a minute to go, knew I was going to be in trouble. Had some late-night in-game buyback on Oregon that was able to offset things a little bit, but yeah, I mean, for me, on my podcast, you know, 1-4 weeks, so looking to bounce back, and my God, my card is disgusting. It's gross. There's tons of lopsided dogs out there. It's a sight for sore eyes.
Yeah, I didn't know what to do. This was the first week when I looked at the lines, I was like, oh, Vegas has got a pretty good feel, because I was like, I hated every single line. So I think I'm going to have some SpongeBob SquarePants, but let's hear your card first.
All right. I'm a big situational guy, so I like fading teams off of big wins. I think I told you Northern Illinois was the right side, yeah, but wasn't going to bet them. Little did I know they would win outright. So here are some of the lovely teams that I am backing on Saturday. Central Michigan, which is a 21-point underdog to Illinois. Illinois off of their win over Kansas. Central Michigan off of a 52-16 loss to FIU. So why wouldn't I back Central Michigan?
In fairness to you, they did outgain. I think they outgained FIU. Like, yeah,
they outgained them by 60 yards. They were minus 6 in the turnover margin. Little sandwich spot there, as Illinois has to go to Nebraska on Friday. So a little letdown, look ahead sandwich. Wyoming, I like this spot. Wyoming, a solid 0-2, lost by a million to Arizona State week one, and then lost to FCS Idaho last week at home. But are we really at the point where we're going to allow BYU to be a double-digit road favorite? So I'm going to take the Pokes. That's going to be a hold-your-nose special there. San Diego State versus Cal. Cal fresh off of their win over Auburn on the Plains. Next week, they have to go to Florida State. I took some Utah State under, as well as Utah State plus the points. Utah State plays Utah this weekend. Cam Rising is out for the Utes there. And then some more normal plays, I guess. I did take the 7 with South Carolina. I know that's not out there right now, so that does no one any justice. And then I took the points with Florida. I might hate myself, probably will, but I ultimately took, I think there's 4s out there. So, yeah, that's the way the card's shaping up right now. It's pretty disgusting, and looking forward to hating myself every second on Saturday. I will note this before you get your plays. The Notre Dame-Purdue line continues to be one of the most fascinating things all week. This thing, at the look-ahead line at DraftKings was 16. Notre Dame goes out, loses to NIU, and now you've got questions regarding Riley Leonard and his health. Circa just went to 7 on this game. So Notre Dame, this has been a massive movement. They opened up as a 12-point favorite, and they are now at a 7-point favorite. I'll say this, if Steve Angeli gets the start, their backup quarterback, I think Notre Dame puts up some points. I wonder if we're getting to that buy low point on this Notre Dame-Purdue game.
Yeah, I desperately wanted to fire on Notre Dame. I don't know, man. Like, I feel like I can't trust them, but I really did want to fire, and I feel like that's going to be one of those ones if I'm chasing tomorrow. Like, if I'm chasing early, I feel like I'm adding that to the card. All right, here's mine. I already know you're going to hate it, but I feel like I have consistency with my card, but I know you're already going to hate it because I'm laying numbers. All right, I'm starting tonight. I'm fading the public. This is just like a big fade the public week. I feel like everybody's on Arizona. I'm going to be driving back. I'm going to need something to watch to keep me awake. I'm taking Kansas State. I'm laying the 7.
I'll be honest, man, I don't hate it. You could actually shop around and get a 6.5 right now on that game. I agree with you. I have not been impressed by Arizona whatsoever this year. So I'm with you in that particular spot. So I put Kansas State with Washington as my only real favorites this week were Kansas State paired with Washington in a money line parlay. I felt like the Washington movement early week was a little too overreactionary to a decent performance from Wazoo. So that's my two favorites. So yeah, I'm not anti on that one. I kind of like Kansas State in that spot.
All right, this is just a principal special. Gundy's going to Tulsa. Ollie Gordon didn't get any carries last week. I know they got Utah next week. I think Tulsa's that bad. I'm laying 18.5.
Yeah, this one I can't get behind. This is one that I would probably be on the other side. I think this is a sandwich spot. Emotional comeback against Arkansas. Next week you've got Utah in a huge showdown in the Big 12. And now you've got to go on the road to Tulsa for an 11 a.m. local kick time. I would be up on the opposite side of you on that one.
After watching what South Alabama did to Northwestern State last night and knowing that Tulsa struggled with Northwestern State, like, this is just like a I'm just trusting it. Go prove that you're better. I'm taking Arkansas I'm laying the number 21.5 against UAB. I've watched UAB now 6 quarters. They're horrible. And I think Arkansas, I know that could be a devastating loss, but I think they're going to get right back on the train. Their offense has been humming. I know what I've seen with UAB. That place looks like a mess. The basketball game that should be, the football game that should be a basketball game, I'm laying the 3 with Indiana at UCLA. Diego Pavia, our guy, 13-4 against the number. I'm laying 10 against Georgia Southern. I'm scared, but I'm also trusting my guy. My guy's a gamer, and Vandy's been pretty undervalued for much of the year. I'm taking the over in that Toledo-Mississippi State game. I've watched State's defense. They're not very good. I think they can score. I think that game just kind of gets up. It's 57. And then I've heard upwards of 9 starters are out for Kentucky. If Kentucky couldn't block South Carolina, how are they going to block Georgia? I mean, that's 21.5. I'm laying that. And then I don't know how much you've kept up with the Dave Clawson respecting his opponent. Hank Bachmeier, now the quarterback at Wake Forest. I don't know if I dropped this nugget on you or not. Do you know the last time he covered the spread against an FBS opponent?
Tell me it was the opener against Florida State when he was at Boise State.
It was not. It was UCF. That was UCF. They had the big lead and then blew it. It was November 20th of 2021 against New Mexico when he was at Boise, 2 teams ago. 13 straight ATS losses for Hank Bachmeier. He truly is like a special form of awful. Ole Miss is trying to run it up. I think this is just an absolute kill shot. This is a lot like my old favorite bet. Remember when Clemson would play Wake and everyone would talk themselves into Wake and they'd run that slow mesh and then Clemson's front would just eat it up? That's going to be what this is. I'm laying the number with Ole Miss and I'm already looking for alt stuff.
Yeah, if it's not broke, don't fix it. So, running through what you just kind of went through real quickly. I have over Indiana wins and under UCLA wins, so no bet for me, but I'll be pulling for you on that one for sure in that particular spot. I just think we've gone a little bit too far with the Indiana love or the UCLA hate, but that's an interesting one, no doubt, to keep an eye on there. Can I interest you in some Kennesaw State? San Jose State just beat Air Force for the first time in school history on the road, and the Owls are, maybe a feisty team there out in San Jose.
How many are they catching?
I get you an 18.
I don't hate that. I mean, the one that was so gross, I almost took it. Why is Oregon 16.5?
Yeah, it's up to 17 now.
I almost just held my nose and took that.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where I understand why people are on Oregon State, and Oregon has not been all that impressive, but Oregon is certainly a team that hasn't impressed yet so far, but at some point they're probably going to break out here, and I don't know if it's this weekend, so I have not played that game. I really am tempted to take Wisconsin.
I am too. God.
I think Alabama's leaky defensively, but Tyler Van Dyke, man, it's hard putting taxed income on Tyler Van Dyke at this point, but that just feels like a spot where everybody assumes Alabama's going to walk in there and pulverize Wisconsin, who, should have lost to Western Michigan in week one, beat South Dakota by two touchdowns. They're only up a touchdown going into the fourth quarter. Alabama was trailing South Florida going into the fourth quarter. So, this is a team that there were a lot of open dudes running the field last week against South Florida, for South Florida against Bama. I really want the 17 to show up so I can grab the 17 or a 10 in the first half, but I think before kickoff tomorrow, I'll probably be on Wisconsin.
All right, Dennis, can you hit the end of the show music, please? All right, Tim, for today, so tell the story, tell your story. I don't know if you caught the Amazon pregame show, but they did a four-minute segment telling us what a utopia Cuba is. So shout out to Amazon. That's don't tell the story, tell your story. All right, buddy, let's go win some bets this weekend, huh?
Let's do our best.
All right, I want to thank Blake Topmeyer for joining the program. I want to thank Tim for being with me. I want to thank Dennis for keeping this bad boy rolling. For Dennis, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.